Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters. We're so glad you're joining us today. We have a very important seasonal health topic lined up, National Influenza Vaccination Week, which happens each December. Joining us in the studio today is Dr. Stacy Rofus. Stacy is an educator at Tennessee Tech Whitson-Hester School of Nursing and a practicing nurse practitioner at her local hospital, where she works closely with the community and provides clinical care. Dr. Rofus, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me today.
Okay, to start off with, can you share a little bit about your background and your current role as an NP and educator?
Yes, I am a Cookeville native. I went to Tennessee Tech.
Wings up.
Graduated in nursing, started my career in nursing in the intensive care unit. Worked there for several years, went back to school, got my doctorate at UT. I'm a dual certified family nurse practitioner and acute care nurse practitioner. Started work as a nurse practitioner originally in urgent care.
Mm-hmm.
Worked urgent care for several years. Now transitioned more to in the hospital. So I work as a hospitalist
mm-hmm.
At Cookeville Regional Medical Center. And then also I am faculty at Tennessee Tech in the nursing program.
So a pretty extensive background, Dr. Rofus. Well, we're glad you're here and can talk to us. So you obviously with urgent care background and inpatient, you see both sides
yes.
of influenza. So before we get into the flu specifics, what kinds of patients or population do you serve? And what trends do you typically see when the flu season rolls around?
So typically in urgent care, I see more kiddos
mm-hmm.
And young adults, more healthy individuals. In the hospital, it's more elderly patients with complications from the flu. During the flu season, usually starts out October, November with mm-hmm. a few cases here and there. And then by the time end of December, January, and February rolls around, we really start to see really high numbers of cases of flu.
Okay. So typically the people that's going to seek care, outpatient-wise, you're thinking it's more of your kids.
Yes.
And then inpatient-wise, it's more of the adults who've ended up having complications from the flu.
Correct.
So basically, our season is going from October through March.
Yes, and right? then once March comes around, cases start to die down.
Yeah, and usually by April, I would say that we're
pretty much
done.
Gone.
Yeah. So why do you think education is so important around seasonal illnesses like the flu? And why is that such an important part of your work?
So education is super important so we can cut down on the number of flu cases in the community. So education really revolves around vaccination in mm-hmm. preventing the number of flu cases. Vaccination also helps cut down on the complications that we see. Once people have the flu, we really educate about what to do for it. How do we treat it once you have it? How do we keep you from spreading it to other people? And also treating it, cutting down on the symptoms and what to watch for and those complications.
Right. Because a lot of times, like you said, if people are going to get really sick, it's from complications that come after the flu.
Yes.
You know, and besides, you know, the importance of vaccination, like you said, the spread. You know, everyone was very up to date on the spread of illnesses during COVID.
Yes.
But the flu is one of those viruses that is spread very similarly to COVID.
Exactly the same way. They're both respiratory viruses spread through respiratory droplets. So every time you cough, sneeze, even speak to people, you are spreading those viruses.
Right. And, you know, and I try to tell patients, too, as I know you do, that typically we have the flu, right? We have the virus in our bodies and can spread it to others before we actually have symptoms.
Yes.
So that's kind of the scary part. But then once we have symptoms and have fever, that's when we really need to be aware and try to avoid others. So let's go into the basics. So for listeners who might think of the flu as just a really bad cold, with my air quotes, what exactly is influenza or the flu is what we call it, and why is it something that we take so seriously?
So influenza is a virus. There are countless strains of the virus, both A and B strains. It's very highly contagious. And so with that, worried about how many people are getting the flu, and not so much how many people are getting the flu, but how many people develop serious complications from the flu. So most people don't understand that the flu goes beyond just feeling bad, can actually turn into ear infections, sinus infections, and pneumonia. You can actually end up in the hospital with some of those serious complications.
Right. And I'm thinking like your older adults, besides pneumonia, which is, you know, a common complication that we see, but people who have respiratory diseases already, I'm thinking like COPD.
COPD and asthma are even at higher risk of developing pneumonia from the flu.
Right. So talking about high risk, so populations at highest risk for complications. So we said older adults, young children. We didn't mention, but pregnant women also, or people with chronic conditions. So why are some of those people so more at risk of complications?
So those people at high risk, like people with, that are pregnant, people with diabetes, heart problems, underlying lung diseases, their bodies are already under strain from those chronic conditions. Once they get the flu, that places them, their bodies under even more strain. Really taxes their body and increases the risk of developing complications.
Okay. So here in Tennessee, and thinking of the Upper Cumberland in general, how does flu activity typically rise during the winter months?
So here in the Upper Cumberland, it's very similar to elsewhere in the United States. Flu season typically starts mid-October and November. You see a few cases here and there. Those case numbers start to rise, and peak flu season is the end of December. Our highest numbers are in January, going into February, and then once spring rolls around, those numbers start to die down.
Yeah.
And then the flu's pretty much gone by April and May.
Yeah. I always typically attribute, and maybe there's no real correlation, but in my mind, I attribute peak flu to just after the holidays.
Yes, all those people
right.
get together in people's houses.
That's right.
They're talking, having a good time, and spreading all your respiratory viruses.
2 weeks later, after New Year's, everyone is sick.
Yes.
And everyone just keeps on spreading. So.
And I think also in the winter, everyone's inside more. So
that's
everyone's
true.
In a confined space versus being outside with the nice weather.
Yeah. So if you're having a get-together over the holidays, they are inside and you're in closer proximity. And oftentimes, you know, my own family, that's what's happened to us.
Yes.
It's after Christmas time. We've been with family. And then, you know, half of us get sick.
One person comes. They don't know
right.
they're sick. And then everyone leaves with
Thanks
us.
A lot. Thanks a lot. Okay. So here's another question, because a question that we hear a lot from patients, people in the community, is how can you tell the difference between whether it's a cold, just a common cold, whether it's COVID or the flu? You know, are there certain symptoms? You know, how can people help differentiate, oh, this is probably the flu?
So that's a great question. So with all of those, the common cold, influenza, COVID, they're all viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So they have lots of overlapping symptoms.
Right.
I'd say the key to deciding if this is the flu or something else is the onset of symptoms. So with the flu, people are usually fine in the morning, and then all of a sudden their symptoms hit. They start running a fever, they have chills, headache, body aches.
Mm-hmm.
So those symptoms hit really fast, really hard. Most people describe it as feeling like they got hit by a truck.
Right.
Compared to the common cold, it's more of a gradual onset. Milder symptoms, fevers aren't as high
right.
compared to the flu.
I do think a good differentiation is that quick onset, that fever and body aches, you know, which if for an adult who has fever, high fever and body aches, you do feel like you've been hit by a truck.
You feel miserable.
It's terrible. So I think that you feel a little bit sicker is what I would differentiate. But now COVID, I know that, you know, being in clinical practice right now and being in the hospital, and COVID has changed over the last 5 years, and we
yes.
have different strains.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the typical symptoms right now for the strain of COVID that we're seeing?
So right now symptoms are much milder than they were in previous years. Seeing less of the lack of smell, lack of taste.
Yeah.
That was pretty early on in COVID. Now it's more cold-like symptoms, cough, congestion. It can also have some stomach symptoms with some nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea.
Okay. So those are good differentiations between a common cold, you know, your typical cold, the flu, and COVID, because sometimes, you know, you're really unsure what's really going on. So hopefully that helps people differentiate. So we mentioned National Influenza Vaccination Week, and that is December 1st through the 5th. So
that's this week.
That's this week. For listeners who may not be familiar, what is National Influenza Vaccination Week, and what's the purpose of highlighting flu vaccination during this week and this time of the year?
So National Influenza Vaccination Week was created by the CDC. It was created intentionally for promoting flu vaccine, educating people about what flu vaccine is, why they need it, also about the flu in general. And the reason it's this week in particular is because we are coming up on peak flu season.
Mm-hmm.
So the flu vaccine takes 2 weeks to become effective.
Yeah.
So if you got vaccinated today, you'd be protected from the flu 2 weeks from now, which is right as we are entering that peak flu season.
That's right.
So that is why they picked this week in particular.
All right. So everybody go this week to get your flu vaccine.
Yes.
I know that's what I hear. You know, a lot of people think, well, it's already December and, you know, flu season's already halfway over. But no, really, like you said,
it's just starting.
It's just now starting. So, and I do like that you highlighted once you get your vaccine, it takes 2 weeks to be effective. And we'll talk more about the vaccination too as we go today. You know, typically, is there a length of time that the flu vaccine tends to protect people?
So it starts working 2 weeks after you receive it, and it kind of starts to wear off once you get to that six-month period. So the longer you've had the flu vaccine, once you get 4, 5, 6 months out from it, it becomes less effective.
Okay.
And maximum length is that 6 months.
Okay. That's good information. We'll talk more about the flu vaccine when we come back. Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. And we're back with Dr. Stacy Rofus, and we're talking about National Influenza Vaccination Week, December 1st through the 5th. And we were talking about the flu itself, the virus itself, you know, how to tell the difference between that and other viruses and people who are more at risk of complications. And so the last thing that we're talking about, Stacy, when we left our first segment was about the vaccine itself and, you know, why it was so important to get it now and it was going to protect us during the peak flu season. So to continue on our conversation about the vaccine, for people curious about effectiveness of the vaccine, can you explain to the listeners how well the flu vaccine works and how it's updated each year?
So the flu vaccine, we get a new flu vaccine every year. The World Health Organization keeps track of flu across the world throughout the entire year, and that's how they create our flu vaccine every year. They make their best prediction of what's going to be most prevalent this flu season and then create the vaccine based off that prediction. So they include multiple strains in each flu vaccine, both A and B strains, based off their prediction. Each year, it's about 50 to 60% effective in preventing the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And not only does it prevent you from getting the flu, it also, if you were to get the flu, it decreases your symptoms. So it makes your flu symptoms much more mild and helps cut down on the risk of serious complications from the flu.
I think that's important for listeners to know. Besides helping prevent them from getting the flu altogether, if they were to still get the flu, because they might get a different strain that wasn't
right.
included in
yes.
the vaccine, then, you know, hopefully their symptoms are not as severe as what they may have been if they had not been vaccinated.
Right. So shorter course of the flu, milder symptoms, much more tolerable,
yes.
and most importantly, will help keep you out of the hospital.
Yes, that would be ideal. Because if you've ever had the flu, which I'd say, you know, by the time you're an adult, most people have had it at some point in their life, it's pretty miserable.
It is very miserable. So if you can make those symptoms milder or keep you from getting it at all, that's the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the concerns or myths that you hear from patients that might prevent them from getting vaccinated?
I would say the biggest myth that I hear is that the flu shot gave me the flu.
Mm-hmm.
So people get the flu shot, and then the next day they feel pretty lousy.
Yep.
But it's not the flu that you're having. It's the flu vaccine doing its job.
Right.
So the flu vaccine is made with inactive flu virus. So it's not giving you the actual flu. It is presenting your body with inactive flu virus so it can mount an immune response and develop protection from flu in the future. And so when your body mounts that immune response, that's the symptoms that you're feeling. Your body doing its job, making that protection against the flu. So the headache, the maybe low-grade fever, the body aches, mm-hmm. it's all that immune response to the flu vaccine itself. It's not the flu that you got.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that one many times
yes.
as well. And we're going to go through some other myth versus truth as we go on. But I think that is something important for people to know, that the flu vaccine is not actually giving them the flu. It is not a live virus.
It is not.
Vaccine. If anything, I think it might mean, hey, you have a really healthy immune system.
Yes. If you feel bad after the flu, it means your flu shot worked really well.
That's right.
May make it more effective
right.
during the flu season.
So maybe that makes people feel better about themselves
right.
if when they're not feeling well. Well, thank you for clearing that up, Stacey. So moving on and talking about some prevention and testing treatment for the flu. Aside from getting vaccinated, what are the most important steps people can take to prevent getting or spreading the flu?
I think first and foremost is hand hygiene. So it is crucial to wash our hands, use hand sanitizer. And going along with that is not touching our face.
Mm-hmm.
So the flu is spread by respiratory droplets. So every
yep.
time someone coughs, sneezes, speaks, those droplets land on surfaces.
Yep.
You touch the surface, then you touch your face, and that's how you get the flu.
Yeah.
So the more often you can wash your hands, do hand sanitizer, stop touching your face, that really limits you picking up the flu.
This is very important for kids, too. So parents, be sure that you're telling your children this.
Wash their hands.
When they are going to public schools and churches, community events, because that's a huge thing. I always have told my kids since they were little bitty, don't touch your face while
don't
you're at school.
Don't touch your face and cover your cough.
That's right. That's right.
So covering your cough is another one. So respiratory yeah. hygiene, not coughing out into the air, try and cough into your elbow.
Yep.
And then if you do get sick, it's really important to stay home. So that's how we limit transmission.
Yeah.
Once you know you're sick, stay home until you're fever-free for 24 hours without any fever-reducing medicine like Tylenol.
Yeah, so that's important to highlight for people, because I feel like that's probably one of the most difficult things for people
yes.
is to stay home.
And so, to keep their kids out of school.
Correct. It's peak flu season is during the holidays. Lots of events, lots of things going on,
that
and
people
don't
want to
miss. Yes. So, but I think, you know, not only for yourself and your family, but other people that you might not realize that you come in contact with, those, you know, small children, older adults, people with chronic conditions, pregnant people that you might not know about.
Right.
Right? That you could be spreading the flu to and they could get really sick from.
So you might not get too sick from the flu, but think about your friends and family with chronic conditions that you right. may not know about.
Right. Absolutely. So that's very important. So washing our hands, hand hygiene, super important. Staying home, covering your cough. And don't touch your face.
Don't touch your face.
That's right. Okay. So when should someone consider getting tested for the flu? And where could they go to get tested if they thought they had the flu?
If you are in one of those high-risk populations that we talked about, young kids, elderly, you have any kind of chronic health condition, or if you're pregnant, the sooner you get tested, the better. There are medications that you can take, antivirals, that are very time specific.
Mm-hmm.
So with testing, once you've had symptoms for 48 hours, we want to start the antiviral medication. So the sooner you get tested, the sooner you can be started on the medication that will help limit the flu and help prevent complications. So I would say the sooner, the better, as mm-hmm. far as getting tested. And places to get tested, any doctor's office, any urgent care, they all have flu tests available.
Okay. and typically a nasal swab.
It is a nasal swab.
Yep. So many people have probably had experience with those. So a nasal swab usually takes less than 20 minutes to get results, depending on the clinic and what test they're using. But hopefully could have results and maybe, if need be, could get a medication.
Yes.
If needed. And then the other thing you're thinking about, you mentioned certain populations. If you're, you know, part of those populations or around people in those populations that are more at risk. And I think about people who might also work in those places where they are going to be exposed to people that could be high risk.
Yes.
So I think it is important for those people to know as well. For those who do get sick, you said treatments that are medications like antivirals. And we said that those need to be started typically within 48 hours, right?
So once we start the antiviral, we want to start it within 48 hours. And if you start it after that 48-hour window, it is much less effective. So the sooner it gets started, the better it's going to work.
And with an antiviral, is it going to cure the flu? Is it like an antibiotic? How would you describe it?
It is not curative. It is not going to make you feel better immediately after you take it.
Okay.
The whole point of an antiviral is to shorten the course of the flu. So you're going to get better faster.
Mm-hmm.
And the big piece is preventing serious complications. So I'd say that's the main reason to have an antiviral, is to prevent you from having pneumonia and ending up in the hospital after
or
the flu.
Other complications. Okay, thank you very much for clearing that up. And I think that helps, you know, the listeners in the community understand more about the medications that they might receive for the flu. Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. And today we're talking about influenza with Dr. Rofus. We've talked about the virus, the vaccine to help prevent it. We were talking about in our last segment about treatments, you know, getting tested and treatments available. What are your recommendations, Stacey, for home care? And when should someone seek urgent medical attention with the flu?
So with the flu, it is a virus. It's going to run its course. So while you are sick with the flu, the big thing is treating symptoms. So Tylenol, ibuprofen will really help reduce the fever associated with the flu. Ibuprofen especially can help with the body aches
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people feel. While you have the flu, it's really important that you rest and hydrate. Stay home. Let your body heal. There are lots of cough medications over the counter,
mm-hmm.
lots of cold medications, all over the counter, dosed based on what it says on the back of the box. It's really important, especially for kids, to look at the age limits
yeah.
on a lot of those cold and cough medications. A lot of them are contraindicated under the age of 4.
Yes.
And then if you have a lot of like nasal congestion, you can do a humidifier.
Yeah.
And some saline nasal sprays just to kind of help with the congestion.
Yeah. So stay home, rest, drink fluids. There are lots of over-the-counter cold, but just make sure, I think it's important for people to make sure they know what they're taking. And if they have reasons not to take certain cold medications, like you mentioned with the children, especially I think of older adults too who have high blood pressure.
A lot of them cause
other diseases. Yeah. So you have to be careful with a lot of those over-the-counter cold medicines, but lots of good cough medicines. And if they're unsure, you know, they can always call their doctor and ask what's safe for
yes.
them to take.
You can also stop by the pharmacy. And the
yes.
pharmacist will answer
that's
any
true.
Questions
that's true.
That
they
you
can
have
help
about
you.
Medications.
So that's great advice. When should someone seek urgent care?
You should go to the ER or to a provider if you start having shortness of breath. Any kind of chest pain, if you have any kind of severe headache, any kind of confusion or mental status change, those are times to seek emergent care immediately.
Those are important to mention, too, because you think of complications, like we already talked about, that can come from the flu. And I think about especially older adults. You know, you mentioned change in their consciousness or any confusion. So that could be our first sign in an older family member, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, that, okay, maybe they have something else going on besides this. So that's good to mention. Okay, so our next segment is one of our favorites. It's the myth versus fact or myth versus truth. So let's tackle a few myths, okay? So the first one that we hear a lot of times from patients and people in the community You can get the flu from the flu shot. And we already kind of mentioned that. So the truth behind that is what?
The truth behind it is you cannot get the flu from the flu shot. It is inactive virus, so you are not getting a small dose of the flu virus itself. When you feel bad after the flu shot, the truth is it's your immune system doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So another common one that we hear is, I'm healthy, so I don't need a flu vaccine.
So it is true that healthy people probably won't have serious complications from the flu. But even though you're healthy, you can still get the flu and you can transmit it to those around you. So you come in contact with people that may be high risk for flu complications. So that flu vaccine not only prevents you from getting the flu, but it helps cut down on transmission,
right,
and spreading it to at-risk people in the community. So it's not just about us as an individual, but our community as a whole and helping protect maybe those that can't take the flu shot.
Yeah. And I think that's public health, you know, vaccinations in general,
yes,
right? We're not just protecting ourselves.
We're protecting everybody.
It's immunity for our whole community. And I didn't mean to rhyme there, but it did. Okay, so here's another one. I got vaccinated last year, so I'm good this year. What would you say?
I would say that is not true. The flu vaccine is only effective for 6 months maximum.
Mm-hmm.
And each year we get a new flu vaccine based right. on what strains are most prevalent in the world. So you need a new flu vaccine every year to cover the strain that's predicted to be most prevalent this year. And the one vaccine you got last year is not working this year.
Absolutely. So maximum 6 months.
6 months.
So if you've gotten your flu vaccine in the last couple of months, you've got through the spring and
then you need a new one for next year.
We're done. Yep. And typically those are not offered till around September-ish.
Usually September, mid-September is when they start offering flu vaccines.
So be looking for it that time of year. What about the idea that vitamins or the immune boosters that you see a lot of times over the counter, that those can replace the flu shot? What would you say to that?
I would say they can't replace the flu shot. They can help your mm-hmm. immune system, but they are not specific to the flu. The flu vaccine does give you very specific protection against the flu virus itself instead of just blanketly improving your immune system.
Yeah. So not to say that someone still couldn't do their immune, you know,
absolutely.
Boosters,
they can definitely
vitamins,
help.
Right. So there's lots of those that people like to do. So in conjunction.
In addition to.
Yeah. All right. So I've got one more for you. If I get the flu, there's nothing that I can do.
There are some things you can do. So the sooner you get tested, if your provider deems it necessary, you can be started on antiviral medications within that first 48-hour time period. It'll shorten your length of the flu, prevent complications. And you can also take lots of over-the-counter medications, do some home remedies once you get the flu.
Yeah, so you mentioned the home care already, the antivirals. And I think that's important, too, that you said you can go get tested, and between you and your provider, the two of you can make that decision on if you need an antiviral or not, because not everyone may need an antiviral medication.
Right. So antivirals, they're medicines themselves, so they do have some side effects. So we really want to use them for high-risk individuals. They're available to those that are healthy, but it's a conversation between your and provider versus risk versus benefit. Is it worth it to take the antiviral?
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so that helped us clear up some myth versus truth. So let's switch gears just a little bit and talk about, you know, just our community and our, I guess, you know, like a call to action for influenza vaccination week. So for listeners who are still undecided about getting the flu vaccine this year, they haven't gotten it yet this year, what would you say to them, Stacey?
I would say now is the time. Now is the perfect time to get the flu vaccine. It takes 2 weeks to become effective. So if you get your flu vaccine now, you are fully prepared for this peak flu season that's rapidly approaching. I'd also say think about your community as a whole. Think about your friends, your family, your neighbors that you come into contact with that may be higher risk than you as an individual. You getting your flu vaccine can really help your community and the people around you.
Yeah. I think too, and the another myth that we didn't mention and we didn't say that we hear patients say a lot is, I'm not getting the flu vaccine because every time I get it, I get the flu. So like you said, you know, the World Health Organization, it is a prediction, about 60% effective. So it doesn't mean that you can't still get the flu with the vaccine, but to know that you may prevent it or prevent others or lessen the symptoms of it. So say I'm ready to go get my flu vaccine because I've got a lot of events coming up at the end of the month. What kind of places, where do I go get a vaccine?
You can go get a flu vaccine. There are tons of places here in the Upper Cumberland.
Okay.
Any doctor's office,
okay.
Any urgent care. You can go by the health department.
Okay.
And all of your big pharmacies,
yes,
carry the flu vaccine. So you can stop in, walk into any of those, and get the flu vaccine.
Okay. Is there a difference in the vaccine? Do I need to ask for anything differently?
Nope. They're
no difference.
All the flu vaccine.
And some of them might, so some people may have private insurance and their mm-hmm. insurance may cover it. If they have Medicaid, Medicare, those are typically covered through those insurances. What about people who are uninsured or underinsured? Where would you suggest they go?
I would suggest going to the health department.
Okay.
They should be able to get you that flu vaccine.
Yes. And there's lots of free clinics. They even have a lot of drive-through clinics.
They do.
Now, I mean, you drive through, so you don't even have to get out of your car. To get the vaccine, you know, and that started way before COVID. You know, COVID vaccines were that way too, but that started before COVID. It was kind of nice. I even did that with my children. We just drive through real quick and
everyone get the vaccine,
right,
and you're covered.
Cry for 2 seconds when we pull in the parking lot and get the vaccine and we're good to go. Well, Dr. Rofus, any other lasting pieces of advice that you want to leave with the residents of the Upper Cumberland? You know, if there's one thing that you can say about influenza, you know, the vaccination week, what would you say?
I would say get vaccinated. First and foremost, it helps you, helps your whole community. And if you do get the flu, know how to take care of yourself and stay inside. Stay away from others until you're fever-free for 24 hours.
Absolutely. And now that everyone's out doing their Christmas shopping and holiday shopping, you know, wipe your buggies off, wash your hands, and don't touch your face.
And cover your cough.
That's right. So, Dr. Rofus, thank you so much for being here today and sharing such important information with us about influenza. And thank you to our listeners for joining us for Local Matters, Health Matters on News Talk 94.1. Don't forget, flu season is here, so you need to get your flu vaccine in the next 2 weeks, and prevention really does make a difference. So we'll see you next time.